let's move into our exposition. As you know, we're in the document. I want you to repeat after me the scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. And we have moved into part three. We concluded part two last week, finally. There are 10 parts that we passed out to you today. I think I'll just give you one part at a time from now on until we complete this. Amen. There are 10 parts. We're into part three now. Table of contents there. And the first portion of part three, repeat after me, cojourning faith to free will, and inevitably induces futility. Now, why are we focusing and distinguishing physicality in deference to spirituality? I mean, aren't the things that we see more real? Not according to the scriptures. The thing that is seen is temporary. The thing that is unseen is eternal. In other words, what you don't see is going to last,
right.
And what you are looking at is not.
That's right.
The entire essence of physicality is going down the drain. And in this document, we won't get to it today. In fact, we're ministering from this like same document in our Bible studies. And we're doing it because we want reliable answers. We want comprehension of that which is the essence of reality.
Come on.
Versus looking around at things. And you know why life is wearing us out? It's wearing us out because what we're looking at is not the real deal.
Amen.
And the longer we look, the worse it gets,
worse,
right?
Amen.
But the scriptures teach us that that's not what we should be looking at.
That's right.
No wonder we're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Scared.
Yeah.
And don't tell me that if that's all you're looking at, that you're secure. No, you're not. I think about the earthquake that happened this week in Haiti. Earthquakes are only one of many things that threaten us. We got tsunamis. That's part of an earthquake. Yellowstone Park is sitting on top of a volcanic that's been dormant. For many, 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 many eons. But do you know it's alive? In fact, the devastation of it is what has created the park. We got earthquakes, we got to all of these things that are happening. You know. Now they're worried that because of the many, many, many corpses that are just laying there rotting, that a pandemic could break out. Disease. Pestilence. Because, you know, the body gives off these, once it begins to decay, you know, and and once it gives off this foreign to living tissue. Well, it's happening over there. Don't you think it can't happen here? That's our problem. We'll watch that for a while, and then we turn to the sitcoms, or the game shows, or the reality shows. Because we want to block it out of our mind. So we started looking at American Teen Idol or whatever that is. That. Don't you think it can't happen here?
Amen.
And sooner or later, it's going to happen here. Oh, Pastor, that's not a good message. Yeah, but do you want to live in a fantasy world, or do you want to live in reality? And then there is good news.
Sure.
But you can't find it in physicality.
All right. I hear you.
It's in spirituality.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you.
You can't find it looking around in the world, because the true hope and happiness, listen to me, trust sends the world and physicality. Now we're talking about two things today: faith and free will. And the reason we want to focus on them is because this is basically how we assess things, either faith or free will. You got your document? In conjunction with the document, I want you to turn to Philippians. Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. What does the Word of God say? Everything else is merely opinions. And I respect other folk opinions, and I have opinions, but you know what? Opinions are worthless. What we want by revelation is what God has purposed.
Right.
So that when things manifest, our hearts don't faint. Our minds aren't blown.
Right.
Our confidence isn't shaken. Alright, everybody got Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Say amen. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, again, and I'm going to keep saying this, we exegete the scriptures. And we draw from the original manuscripts. We exegete the scriptures. And we draw from the original manuscripts because we want the same advantage that the translators had.
Right. Yeah.
And we will not be held captive to translations, not commentaries. start from verse 9. Everyone has Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
King James, brother.
Yeah, start with the King James. Go from 9 through 14. Go through 15, 9 through 15.
Okay.
We're just starting this section, and I'm not worried about how fast we get through it and so forth and so on. And I know that we've been in exposition of scripture distinctions about 2 years now, and yeah, that's bothering me. You know why? Because things out there that's kicking you in the face, they're not going anywhere, are they?
No.
Are they in a hurry to get out of your way?
No.
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 No. They're in no hurry. They're in no hurry to leave you alone. This is the antidote for it. All right? Again, everyone, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, amen?
Amen.
Read.
King James Version. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above, which is above every name.
Mm-hmm.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow,
mm-hmm.
of things in heaven and things in earth.
Yeah, see that, that if you got a good Bible there, that's italicized. That,
yeah.
You italicize that because you don't find things in the original manuscripts. You start to talk about heaven, you're not talking about things. All right, read.
And things under the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, now is the bottom line. That's where God is going with all this. That's the bottom line.
Wherefore,
what is God doing? The bottom line. Verse 12.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my presence, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
Mm-hmm.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, which rebuke
without rebuke, mm-hmm.
in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
That's not actually how that reads, and when we get to it, we'll deal with that.
Among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
All right. Let's go to the Greek now. And basically, let's start from the Greek in verse 12. Now, we have a Greek interlineals, but and everyone that doesn't have one, we hope that, talking to the regulars now, that you will get one. Because our ministry basically follows the Greek script, and this particular media has the Greek words and then right under the English words, and every time he cheats, we're able to call him out, right?
Right.
But if all you have in front of you is the translation, they can run a game on you. So in your study, most of us, we depend upon others to do our spiritual thinking.
Yeah, amen.
You know the joke that weather, I call him the weather comedian. He's on radio now. I forgot. He used to be on. Yeah. He said, he who drives when he is drinking depends upon others to do his thinking. He who picks up translation, read and grab a commentary, depending on others to do his thinking. Look very closely at what the Word of God is conveying to us. All right? From the Greek text, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And if you don't have the Greek interlineal there, just follow along. Your translation is probably close, but not close enough. But anyway, close enough for you to follow. All right, read.
So as.
Now you see, it starts off here with what we call a superordinate conjunction. Well, it's a superordinate conjunction. That means it overrules everything that is priorly said. Or it culminates in what is going to be the defining words in the text. In other words, what we're getting ready to say is very important.
All right.
Now what Paul is saying here is the culmination of the things that he has said before. As he writes to them, and at the beginning of the chapter, he says, basically, if indeed there is any comfort, if you're going to have fellowship with the Spirit, and basically, fulfilling joy at being like-minded, but not just being like-minded or coming together in consensus of opinions, but like-minded in consensus of receiving the revelation. Here he conveys to them the revelation of the mystery. What Paul writes to the church, you are not finding in any other part of the Bible.
No.
And if he is to be believed, what he conveys was hid from generations and never known before it. No, none of the patriarchs. None of the prophets.
None.
The disciples that walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, never knew this information.
That's right.
To God, to Paul into Arabia for 3 years.
That's right.
And he revealed it to him.
Amen.
This is why there was such a commotion when he went in. When he came back, he was not talking like the rest of the. No, Peter and Paul did not preach the same thing.
No.
Amen.
In chapter 3 of Ephesians, don't turn to it, but he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God,
That's right.
Which is a volume of truth that is distinct from what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen.
This message is distinct. Yes, he's talking about Jesus. In fact, that's all he's talking about is Jesus.
Right. Come on,
the because that's all we want to talk about is Jesus.
Amen.
It's distinct because it is according to the message that God revealed to Paul.
Right.
And he told Timothy, he said, don't you preach anything else. Oh, Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother, Lois, they were honored Jews. And I'm sure he knew about the law. And he probably knew about the kingdom message. And this is why Paul said, what you heard from me, that's what you preach, and you don't preach anything else. So what he's getting ready to say in this verse 12, he's saying it in relationship to the information that is Jesus Christ according to mystery, a mystery truth.
Yeah, man. That's right.
All right, read. Slowly.
Beloved of me.
So as the, so my as, beloved.
So as beloved of me.
Mm-hmm.
As always. Mm-hmm. Ye obey.
Uh-huh.
Not as in the presence of me only.
Mm-hmm.
But now by more, rather in the absence of me.
Now, see, but here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. Oh, my God. Because this isn't preached right. He's saying, you obey the message. Paul wasn't talking about, oh, you obey me. Paul said, whether I'm there or not there. And this is what the real minister in the Grace Church, who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, will do.
Right.
And that is to focus on the message. Mm-hmm. Focus on the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. The body of Christ has only one identification part, right?
Right.
What is that?
His
head. That's
right.
The head. That's Christ. Oh, Paul said that this is not about me. Oh, God gave it to me, mm-hmm. But it's not about me. It's about him. Mm-hmm. Everybody says it's about him.
About him.
In fact, it's all about him. It's only about him. So this is what he's telling them. That if you're going to stay happy, you're going to stay comforted, you obey the message. Look into the essence of physicality and you're going to get all jointed out of shape. You're looking at the things around you, they're going to blow your mind.
Yes. Amen.
And someone said, well, you know, after so many hours, I turned it off because I would get depressed. If you're looking at it, and all the thing that you see, mm-hmm. and all the thing that you understand, and all things you understand, and all the things that you have any comprehension of, are the things that are on you, it will blow you away.
That's it.
In other words, you're standing on the horizontal plane looking around, and it's wearing you out.
Oh, yeah.
In the scriptures, that is the message of the mystery that God gave to Paul to give to the church, which is the gospel. All directives and all instruction, it takes you up into the vertical realm.
Yes, amen.
Now you're not looking around.
Amen.
You're looking down.
Amen.
You're not looking around. You know what the advantage is? You're looking around and all that trouble, and there might be some joy there, but the trouble has got you it's got you blocked out.
Amen.
You're looking down, you might see the finish that up.
Oh, thank you.
Absence of me.
Absence of me with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Be of yourselves salvation work out.
Now, it's amazing how that's translated by so many. Now you gotta if you don't get to heaven, you gotta work out your own salvation. And you know what? It's tough going through here. And they say, that's not what Paul is saying. You know the key word in this verse is as it speaks to your salvation, we have the verb katagazeste. It is a verb. It is in the imperative mood. What's the imperative mood?
Command.
It's a command. It's in the present tense.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know what that is.
Yeah. Man.
Listen, it's in the middle of passive voice.
Great. Great.
What is the passive voice?
He has done to you.
Right. He's not saying you be strong and you work out your own salvation.
No.
It's in the passive voice.
Passive voice.
Passive voice, something is being done to you.
Right.
Over. This is not what you're doing. This is what God is doing to you and through you.
Yeah.
What he's saying is by focusing on the message and the directions and the information in the messages, even through the fear and trembling. Oh my God, God works out all things.
Yeah, man. Oh, glory.
How does he work it? According to his will.
Man.
He said, wait a minute. That's not what the verse say. Yes, it does. Go to verse 13.
Verse 13,
mm-hmm.
God for is the operating.
Mm-hmm. God is the operator.
Mm-hmm. Operate in you.
That's operating in you.
Both the to will.
Both to will.
And.
Uh-huh.
And that word will there.
The to operate.
Is basically. Not your will.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that's not your will? Because of what follows it. It says his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Your will cannot bring God good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is God working.
Hallelujah.
Now what is the significance of this morning? Why are we taking our time going through this so slowly?
All right.
Why am I not up here giving you 1,001 trivials concerning the scriptures? Because we want to focus on this message, which is the gospel of the grace of God, which is the message that God delivered to the Apostle Paul for you.
Amen.
Thank God.
For the church. Paul said in that same third chapter of Ephesians that he gave it to me for you.
Mm-hmm.
To give to you.
That's right. That's right.
Yes,
Lord.
It is the message for the church.
Oh, glory.
These are epistles. An epistle is what? It's your mail.
Mm-hmm.
Read it. Saints used to sing a song, look and live, look and live.
Mm-hmm.
It's recorded in this word.
Mm-hmm.
Look and live. If you would only look, then you can live. You know what brings about fear and trembling? Ignorance. The more we don't know, the more we fear. The more we know, the less we fear. So Paul was saying, and this you have to look at this verse, this verb here, work or accomplish, verse 12, he's saying God is working in you. Because it would be contradictory in verse 12 for him to say you work it out, and then in verse 13 said God is working it out. Oh, I forgot this right. You're all working together. Syllogism. No, you're not. Now, we'll continue that next week. Let's go to our document. Everybody repeat after me again. Conjoining faith to free will inevitably induces futility. Now, it is scripture factual, listen, that faith and free will, as misperceived by mankind, are indeed antithetical or opposing concepts in the essence of actuality. What is faith? Faith in its philosophical sense is some unbridled force, principle of power that predetermines events. Don't mix God up with some unbridled force. That just indiscriminately works. In this view, certain events in an individual's life have been predetermined entirely by chance. And in this way, such have the ability to dictate their actions and affect what results from them. Free will. And it is amazing to me how, of course, I know that you can't understand unless God gives you illumination. But how commonly and predominantly acceptable is free will in Christendom? You know, you're going against the grain. You don't believe in free will. After all, you know, God gave us all minds and you know, five senses, and, you know, He gives us choices. You've got a free will to be depraved, and that's about all. You're an automatic pilot. You will, without any notion otherwise, do what is contrary. Mm-hmm. To that which is right. That which is godly. That which is righteous. You don't get the information until you get to our gospel. All have sinned and what? There's none righteous. How many? One. There's none that seek about them. There's none that want to be like him. There's none that want anything to do with him. Paul writes in Romans. And if you think anything else. So how you going to have a free will to do other than what your human sinful nature dictates consistently? Those folk had it right. Mm-hmm. He said, when you see me walking right, what?
God
is using me. When you see me talking right, what?
God
is using me. When you see me acting like I act sometimes,
that's
the old depraved nature.
Mm-hmm.
That has not been arrested for God for the purpose of manifesting depravity so that depravity can be known for what it is. Even the best of us are the so-called best of us as we rate one another. In a given day, God doesn't veto it. That's why we don't get on board condemning anyone, kicking anyone. Because whatever's in your brother, it's in you. It's in us. So we're going to take our time because we want to dismantle the unscripted notion of free will. Except you have a free will to be on an automatic pilot of being depraved. To the document. And this is what messes us up in life. Free will is mostly construed as the power of individuals to make personal choices, unconstrained by external circumstances or agencies such as fate or even God's divine will. No, God helps me out. I mean, no, you don't. Except by the help of the Lord. Well, if God helped you and caused you to do it, then why are you taking credit for it? In this view, free will is an individual's capacity to choose thoughts or actions, which in effect determine events that result from these thoughts or actions according to our desires. In other words, say you make that thing happen. You determine what happens. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? And sometimes I'm around someone and someone says something. Oh, don't say that. You might put that out in the air, and because you said it, that's what happened. Well, I tell you what. We can use some extra funds around here. Somebody put that out in the air. And you could probably use them as the fun. Put it on there. It don't work that way.
No.
Now these two concepts, that is fate, that is some indiscriminate and broad forces that's out there. Free will, that's you pulling all of the levels. They are antithetical, they are opposing, in that fate does not allow a person to affect events. Yet free will does not in any way either. Actually, nothing can be determined through any human's independent thoughts and actions. As such, are dictated neither by fate nor free will, nor subject to the control of either concept in any sense whatsoever. The greater impairment incurred in such shrewd thinking and cogitation abides in the imagined disseminations of life processes. You follow me closely here. What are life processes? Is it something that we arrange? Processes of life, do we arrange them or have they been prearranged?
Prearranged.
I went out, I got in the car, I drove down to a corner. I think I'll go right. You make a right turn, you go two blocks, and somebody comes through the intersection, and bam, if I had just gone left, it wouldn't happen. No, you don't. Don't you even thunk it. No, you don't. where you could have turned. And we beat ourselves up.
Right.
Number. So I made a stupid move in life.
Number.
And if that was the case, it's because God did not veto you making that stupid move. Because the only kind of moves that depravity can make are stupid.
Number.
But God always works according to purpose. And there's no other way you could have done whatever you did because it was decreed. So, Pastor. No, you don't. Didn't we? And you know what? It starts with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation, it works right on down in the life. If you're shaky about salvation, automatically you're shaky about life. Whatever doubts and fears we have about salvation, they translate right on down into life. On the other hand, if we can ever come to know that God has worked this thing out from the beginning, He has given you all the provisions, and in spite of problems, in spite of troubles, Paul said, through the tremblings, through the fears, God works it out. You got to know that.
Amen.
I mean, if God has saved you, which is eternal, which is the most important thing concerning you, you mean to say He's not going to take care of these little daily situations around here? Oh, He might not do it the way you want it.
Come on here. Come on here.
Done. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to wrap up this morning. We're going to be on this for a while.
Thank
I want to repeat this. The great impairment incurred in such shrewd cogitation of thinking about an imagined dissemination of life processes. In stark contrast to these prevailing human conceptualizations, God's people must abide according to the spiritual truth in lieu of the philosophical perceptions of what actually controls the means and operations of existence.
Yes.
In other words, are you looking at this thing through the prism mirrored manifestation? Are you looking into the Word of God to see the actualization of what God has done? Now, we went through Ephesians, Philippians. We'll go back there next week. I want you to drop down where it says, in view of this. Got that? Now, above, we convey that verse 12 focuses the recognition that none produce their own salvation. And when we understand that none produce their own salvation, then we understand that none produce anything else. Because, see, your salvation is the exclusive work of God, and everything else is the exclusive work of God according to His purpose. In view of this, the erroneous command that grace recipients are to initiate, this is why we spent so much time the first years of this ministry dealing with salvation and mechanics of salvation. Because you're not about to think about life until you have the correct comprehension of salvation. And when you think you can produce your own salvation, it leaves only one option. It's a command of both human responsibility. You hear that all the time. But you know what is annexed and concomitantly flow with responsibility, capability. I mean, we don't expect little children to be responsible because we say they're not capable. Right? So the two go together. So when you say you are responsible or the thing depends upon you, that means that you have the capacity. And this is how many of us are trying to live our lives. We're all like little children. We don't know how, we do not know what, and we absolutely do not know why. And so we have to depend, like a little child depends upon his or her parent. Our dependence has to be upon God. The more you think you can do, the less, you know, you're going to depend upon God. This is why we're dealing with this head on. It is ludicrous that it is so believably and it is in the majority taught that we have free will. What is free will without capacity to exercise that will? It's an accident or a train wreck that's waiting to happen, right? You set out to do something and don't have the ability to do it. You're probably not. It's not going to get done. But the scripture we read, we'll be going back to it next week. It is He that worketh within us what?
Both
to will it, His will, and to do it what? According to what?
His
good pleasure.
That's
right. God's running the show.
That's right.
Every bit of it. Now, as those who have been made alive in Christ, God's elect, that is us, we're completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit for enablement to function in our daily lives. Completely.
Yeah.
Just like the little baby that's laying up there, not even the toddler, the little baby, I was looking at the news that Haiti, a little baby was born and they found out that they pulled him out from under the, and they found out that his ribs were crushed. And he said, hey, we better get him out of Haiti and it somewhere where they can deal with this. And they found a special vehicle and called ahead and went to the airport, had a plane waiting, took the baby, flew the baby into Fort Lauderdale, into the hospital where people specialize in that. Because if we do nothing, this baby will automatically die. And of course, God determines who dies. I'm using that as a cruel example. By the same token, we're just like little babies. We have no ability to do anything.
No.
It is God that causes us. So what I did by the help of the Lord. No, God did it through you. If God didn't give them enablement, do you know what you would do? Nothing. In the Old Testament. Without me what? Somehow that went in a pack. It just went right by us. Now we're over here talking about free will. Now according to the preceding conveyance, that which we have said as we close, all the commandment to avail continuously depended upon God's capacitating of their daily functionalities over the sins which so closely cling to them. We'll be going into Hebrews also. The emphasis in the previous verse is not so much on the responsibility of God's people as the emphasis in the last part of the sentence is entirely on what God manifests. based entirely upon what he has decreed in each and every instance.
Yes,
a fly doesn't live its left wing unless God enables. Each breath that you take, it is enablement. Each breath that you take in, God gives it to you. And you know what? You don't even have the capacity to hold what he gives you. Because when he gives you, you take it in. But because you haven't passed through, you know what you got to do? You got to breathe it back out. And then God has to give you the next one. And so you take it in because he gave it to you, but you don't have the capacity to hold it. You've got to give up. That's the process of life. God gave in, but we don't have to hold it. So we have to give it back. That's what life is about. Friday night, and we'll take this up next week. Friday night we were in Bible study. We were dealing with that passage. That was in Romans. Was that Romans we were in Friday night? Yeah, Romans chapter 7. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul basically talking, the most that go into that talk about marriage and so forth and so on. Just like in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and that Paul is not really talking about marriage. He answers the question from the heavenly viewpoint. When they ask him about marriage in that 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Married and not married, widows, should I do this, that, and other, so forth. Paul goes into the essence of eternality. And basically around the 28th, 29th verse, he said, now, in the final analysis, time has run short. Paul said, time is short. In other words, time is like a drop in the what?
Ocean.
And he said, marrying or not marrying. And he said, weeping or not weeping. And he said, rejoicing or not rejoicing. And then he said, bearing and yet not holding at his possessions. He said, it's irrelevant. In the final analysis. When we look over in Haiti, we see what's happening there. And some people, oh, that is terrible. And then some people think that they got to defend God. And that was so stupid. And I know this is being recorded. But he needs to be called out on it. Pat Robertson's talking about some pact they made with the devil to escape slavery. You see, somebody's always going back in the Old Testament. Your gospel. Read your own mail. What is written in the law was for the purpose of showing that Israel couldn't do it. It was inevitable that whatever God said that you better not do, that that's exactly what they were going to do unless God intervened to cause them not to do it. The purpose of the law to show how exceedingly sin is.
Yeah, right.
Not that they could do it.
No.
Not that they were capacitated.
No.
If you're going to do that, Mr. Robertson, then don't look across the water. Look around you. And if God was going to ever get filled with something, it would be the people that are right here. We'd have all been dead a long time ago. All of us.
All
What did David say? If the Lord regarded iniquity? This is Old Testament. Who would survive? You know, they teach you, we do something and God gets ticked off and he retaliates. That's a crazy. You better be good. God's going to get you. There's no way we'd have made it as far as we had made it if God was in the retaliating business. So when the plane flies into the building or the pandemic comes, whatever happens, earthquake, tsunami, the essence of it is purpose. And the purpose is not permanent physicality. Those people have no more sinful and evil than we are. In fact, because we have such prosperity in America, we have more to get into than they do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No! It's about purpose. But we have to take down the institutions and foundations of faith and free will.
Oh, man.
We give God credit for being a creator, but we don't give him credit for being a designer.
Oh,
everything that moves is because God has enabled it. But because we don't understand purpose, and we can't understand purpose, looking into physicality. Looking into physicality, you might even find out to what and when and how. But you won't find out why. Not a physicality. Why is it? Why is it? The man left all joy, and someone had called him and told him his daughter was alive. He gets to Miami, found out that it was a mistake.
Right.
Then another individual gets communication that their relative is dead, and while they're watching the news, weeping and crying, up pop the relative. Alive. I wonder what do you think that is? Do you actually think that's some unbridled force that has no intelligence about it? Or that is based upon individuals? What is it that causes the essence of what is and what isn't? I wrote a paper, The Essence of Being or Not Being. And Paul broke that thing down. What is what was. What are you talking about, Pastor? That's crazy. No, it's not. God decreed in eternity everything, and it exists in eternity. Because nothing exists in time. Because anything that exists in time, when time comes to its ending, you know what has to happen to that thing? It has to also cease. And time ceases, it has to cease with time. So nothing exists in time, it exists in eternality. And so God's intent and purpose abides in eternality.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Well, it makes sense to me. Even goes to the Old Testament. What did he tell the Old Testament? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Somehow that it just goes right around us, right by us. And so each day we go on and we continue to do everything we do, and we're going forth every day and so forth and so on, and we're all mixed up. And that's why we're not happy. That's why we're so afraid. And that's why we have no confidence. No comprehension? No comprehension. No confidence. And that's why. And so I said to you as I sit down, don't look at the things that are being seen. Look at what is unseen. What is unseen is what God has decreed. You say you love Him, right? You say you believe He loves you, but you don't really believe it, because if someone is in charge and you really have confidence that they love you, then you're going to have some confidence in the fact that what they're doing, ultimately, not today, not in the essence of what's going on,
right,
ultimately,
that's right,
God's got you covered.
That's right.
I think about the person,
Albert,
the man digging through the rubble and found all of the members of his family dead. Somebody else digging through the rubble and found all the members of their family alive. What's the difference?
Purpose.
God's purpose. It doesn't mean that God even loves the one more than the other, or that one pleased God and the other one didn't, because nobody can please God. What does it mean? It means simply He works all things together according to His will, according to His purpose. But you don't have to have the confidence that you, amen, are in God's purpose. And you, amen, are of God's good pleasure. And understand, as they used to say in the country, you're sitting in the catbird seat. God bless you.